Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 8, we'll read verses 26 through 39. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1475. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 8:26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged Jesus that he would permit them to enter them. And Jesus permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Then those who fed them saw what had happened. They fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Go home. Tell what God has done for you. In his book, Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels writes, 10,000 steps. Roughly, that's the distance that you travel from sunrise to sunset each and every day of your life. It adds up to about 115,000 miles in a lifetime, or more than four times around this big blue planet of ours. Assume that the average distance across most rooms is 20 feet. That's about 10 steps. What if 10 steps could impact eternity? Now, 10,000 steps in a day might be more than some of us can conceive of walking. 10, however, are doable by any of us. Perhaps we just need to be encouraged to take those steps. If we think about it, that's how Jesus interacted with people. As he walked, as he sailed, and he ate, he heard stories and he shared the story of the greatest news of all, God's love. Now it happened that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and he said, "Let us cross to the other side," and they launched out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A windstorm came up on the lake. The boat was filling with water. They were in danger. His disciples awoke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water. The wind and the waves stopped. There was a calm. Jesus asked, "Where is your faith?" The disciples marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the Gadarenes, opposite Galilee. The Gadarenes were 10 Gentile cities. They belonged to no country. They were self-governing. When Jesus stepped out onto the land, a certain man met him. He wore no clothes, and he lived in the tombs. He had demons for a long time. The man fell down on his knees before Jesus, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Son of Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." In telling the story, author Luke seems to backtrack a little and provide us with more information in the next verse. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, and he was bound with chains and shackles, but he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. The demons within the man gave him a raging burst of strength and energy that could not be restrained by human hands or chains of iron. The implication is that when the man first approached, that Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. The demons recognized Jesus and his authority immediately. It was the demons within the man that called out, "Son of the Most High God, what have I to do with you? I beg you, do not torment me." The devil, demons, Satan, evil spirits know God. However, they don't want to worship God or accept God's authority. Sometimes it may seem that the universe is in a tug of war, where God has the upper hand for a while and then Satan pulls back and gains control. Certainly sometimes it seems that way in our lives. It's good and evil battling for our soul. While Satan does have pull and power, God always has the ultimate control. Satan or the devil or the power of evil are never and never will be stronger than God. Life is not a horizontal tug of war between God and Satan, but it's a chain of command with God always at the top. God is always the victor, and today's story of the demon-possessed man is one strong display of that reality. Just as Jesus had calmed the wind and the sea, he will calm the man. Now, Jesus does something that might not occur to us. He doesn't forget or overlook the fact that though, despite this bizarre behavior, this chain-breaking, tomb-dwelling, naked, screaming man, there is a person ripe for redemption. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. In the Roman army, a legion was anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So a mighty army of demons had invaded this man. Demon possession is where an evil spirit or a demon has control over the person's thoughts, their actions, their body. It might manifest in such ways as physical ailments, uncontrolled rage, self-harm, or unusual strength. A demon is an agent of the devil here on earth. Well, these demons had taken over this man until he had no quality of life. A demon is against the things of God. We might note that these demons recognized and even admitted that they were no match for Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They, the demons, begged Jesus, "Do not command us to go out into the abyss." The abyss is a noun. It signifies a deep place. Used here and in the book of Revelation, it would be the deep, the bottomless pit for the dwelling of evil beings. The legion of demons did not want Jesus to send them there. They knew that they could not withstand Jesus' command, so they begged. Now, a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged Jesus that he would permit them to enter them. Jesus permitted the demons to enter the swine. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Now, we might wonder, why didn't Jesus go ahead and send them to abyss? Was it not God's timing? Or was it sometimes that when things happen, we want things so bad and God permits it, but it really doesn't turn out as we thought it would? Back in 2021, we had an African spitting cobra, sometimes called a king cobra, on the loose in Moody. It was not too far from here. Technically, I guess this snake is still on the loose, but when it first happened, we were much more tense about it. As one little first grader explained to me, you have to be really careful around poisonous snakes. Not only will you die, but if one bites you, it could kill you. Who knows whether invading the swine gave the demons a temporary reprieve or whether they drowned with the swine? They drowned and they died. Could be that Jesus considered the loss of pigs a small price to pay for the saving of a man. The owners, which was a huge herd of swine, really could have been the residents of the town. They seemed to have a different opinion. Those who were taking care of the pigs ran off and reported in the town and the countryside, and people came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man whom they were used to seeing ranting and raving and naked in the wilderness. He was dressed in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Interestingly, this struck fear in their hearts. The town folk listened to the eyewitness reports of those tending the pigs. They heard how the man had been healed. There's no mention that they questioned the man or Jesus. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. These people saw the supernatural and the overwhelming power. What they failed to recognize was the beauty and the love of God. They were incapable of seeing and seizing their glorious opportunity in which God had visited them. They only saw a manifestation of strange power, and they were blind to the glory of God. The whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. To them, it seemed better to have a raving lunatic on the loose and a herd of pigs than to have a right-minded man and no pigs. Jesus got into the boat. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and he proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for him. In his book, Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels writes, "Our love for stories began at an early age. We would beg weary parents, 'Read it again, read it again.' As we mature, our fascination with powerful heroes or magical fairies kind of morphs into a desire to enter someone else's reality in hopes of maybe making sense of our own. Stories captivate us with characters who seem so much like us, or maybe are so different than us. These plot lines give us fresh eyes to see life around us, vivid descriptions of unknown parts of the world, and questions that force us to declare what we believe. No wonder Jesus boiled profound wisdom down to simple stories. Our theological teachings were simple stories. The greatest storyteller, Jesus spun stories about everything from great banquets to mustard seeds and fruit-bearing trees to missing sheep and lost coins. The power of a story, Jesus was well aware of it. Every person has a story. Great is the realization that my story fits into God's greater story, and that's the greatest story ever told. When people grasp the magnificent truth that the gospel has direct implications for the meaning of their stories, all sorts of light bulbs flicker to life. I can be found like the lost son. I can be cared for by a good shepherd. My deepest needs, like the widow's, can be met. I can receive abundant life just by exhibiting a tiny mustard seed of faith. I can receive abundant life, and I can trust that I can be healed, renewed, transformed, and thrust into abundant life. Though it seems like demons are possessing us when our bodies, minds, and spirits are battling diseases or addictions and sin, they cannot possess us when we call upon Jesus. We note that in the Bible that Jesus healed diseases and he forgave sins and he cast out demons. There is a distinction. While in a sense all the imperfections in our world are a work of the devil due to our surrendering to evil instead of obeying God, we can call upon God to help us to resist evil and see God's transforming glory in everything, now and eternally. We all have stories to share. Stories before we knew Jesus and stories after we knew Jesus. Stories of people who helped us to know God's love in Jesus. We have stories of light and love and laughter, stories of disease and distress and demons. We have stories of success and sadness and sin, stories of harm and help and hope. Our stories of a changed life builds a testimony that can help others to believe God and have a changed life. Changed lives happen not only when we share our story, but when we also listen to the story of others. We build relationships and fellowships and follow God's leading. Since the beginning of time, people have that there's a vast distance separating us from God. People have been consumed to know how to get over that chasm, to bridge that gap that keeps us from God. People have known that God is other, God is different than us. God is a perfect, holy, and awesome. And we don't even live up to our own standards. Other religions are about doing the right things to earn God's favor and getting God's good graces. But Christianity is about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. God has laid a cross over that great divide, that great gulf between us and God. Go and tell what great things God has done for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for giving me life through Jesus Christ. Help me share my story. Amen.